Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, football, hockey, baseball, they're all underway. We'll give you our biggest over and under reactions for the week. Plus, we'll preview Thursday night football. It's not the sexiest Thursday night football game we've had, although quite a few of them have been not so great. And we'll give you our best bets. We'll look into some interesting lines heading into week six. And you know it, you got some Mox Locks coming your way. But first things first, let's welcome in Kenny Betts Big to the show. Kenny, how you feeling?
Feeling good, Katie. You know, another week in the NFL coming off the good. We actually were blessed with a good primetime game in the Chiefs Raiders. And then, now we got this dud of a game tomorrow, but we'll get into some bets to make the people money.
Well, and you and I were, you, Danny, and I were all on the right side of that with the Raiders plus the seven. The under was definitely not the play there, although I still think it was the smart, you know, the smart play and analysis, but leading up to it. And then there was a lot of interesting calls in that game. But speaking of interesting calls and interesting things going on, let's talk about over and under reactions to anything that's happened in sports this week. It can be football or, you know, we've got the MLB playoffs happening right now. Hockey also kicked off last week. A lot of Rangers fans are thinking that they're going to be really great after their win last night. But what is an overreaction that you have seen in the last week that you would like to discuss?
We got to stop this, the blasphemy. I've been hearing, you know, watching TV, hearing it a lot, that Cooper Rush should start over Dak Prescott.
I agree.
Let's pump the brakes there. Dak Prescott just got a huge contract extension before last season, I believe, right? It was 4 years, $160 million Jerry Jones shelled out. Let's slow down here. You know, anytime we see these backup quarterbacks step into, you know, their role, fill the injury void, they always seem to have little flash in the pan, big games. And it's typically because there's not a ton of tape on those guys, right? Like when Dak Prescott's going out there, defenses are keying in game planning to stop Dak Prescott. Yeah. So I think we need to slow down, pump the brakes on the Cooper Rush love. When Dak Prescott is healthy, he will be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, without question. And like, let's look at Coop. The defense is winning them games. It's not like Cooper Rush is, I mean, yes, he's been very accurate and all of those things. I think he had, 10 pass attempts in the last game? Just 10? 10 pass attempts? And we're going to give him credit for that win. Dallas's defense is what is winning them games. And Cooper is managing the game just fine until Dak gets there. So I completely agree with you. My overreaction, and as a Mets fan, I'll be curious to see how you feel about this, is that Max Scherzer is washed. I have seen Twitter absolutely explode. And yes, he probably pitched the worst game of his life in game one of the wild card. He gave up 4 home runs and he definitely let the game get out of hand. Ended up surrendering, I believe, 7 runs in 4 innings. And again, Twitter went absolutely nuts saying he was the most overrated pitcher in baseball. Part of me kind of understands that because he did play hardball in negotiations with the Mets last year. And he folded when you needed him. But he also had the oblique injury that kept him out of a lot of games in September. Maybe he was still injured a little bit. So I don't think that he's washed. Did he pitch a really bad game? Yes. But like, I don't think we need to throw the towel in on Max Scherzer.
Katie, I'm on the other side.
The long pause.
All right. Mm-hmm. Max Scherzer, the way he got booed off of the field was rightfully so.
Yes.
The guy got $44 million, right? You talked about playing hardball at the negotiation table. $44 million Steve Cohen doled out to him. Listen, in the biggest games down the stretch when Mad Max is supposed to rise to the occasion, you know, we hear about all the time what a competitor he is, how fiery of the fierce competitor Max Scherzer is. And in the biggest games of the season, not once but twice, he lays a huge egg. Man, Max Scherzer broke my heart, Mets hearts around the country. I've said it a lot probably throughout this show, the Mets are the Mets and they're going to break our – there will be a time where they are the Mets. But this year felt different. There was just something different about it. We had DeGrom. We had Scherzer. And not all the blame can be placed on Max Scherzer. What was Buck doing not throwing Jacob DeGrom out for game one there? Because, right, like it adds to the pressure of him. Jacob DeGrom is arguably the best pitcher in the history of baseball. And you're not going to pitch him in game one? Like, what are we doing here?
Oh, that would have changed the entire course of the series for sure. Yeah. But I mean, like, are you, do you like never want to see Max again? Like, is he, like, how do you, as a Mets fan, are, do you really think he's washed and like, you don't want anything to do with him? Or are you just like, this guy might've been injured, pitched the two bad games of his life when we really needed him. I'm not happy with him. Or do you actually think he's washed?
So I don't think he's washed because he proved to us throughout the season that he still has some left in the tank, right? But I do think he's older. I think he did obviously endure some wear and tear throughout the season. And I think he faded down the stretch as older players tend to do. So I don't think he's worth – you can't justify paying him that type of money because when we needed him the most, he crumbled. He wasn't there for us. So, you know, going next year – I don't know how they approach next season. Maybe, you know, kind of give him training wheels throughout the regular season and kind of preserve him to be a little bit fresher down the stretch. I don't know. Yeah. But to pay a guy $44 million and, you know, kind of have to manage his innings throughout the season to kind of protect him come October, that's, you know, you shouldn't be doing that either.
All right. Well, my underreaction is the NFL officiating. It's been absolutely awful, and I know a lot of people are upset about it, but I don't know if everyone is as upset as they should be. I feel like in wake of the Tua injury, the NFL has just been a little bit overly cautious, which I agree to a certain extent. What happened to Tua was absolutely inexcusable. But now, specifically on these roughing the passer calls, it's getting a little bit out of hand. There was last week with Tom Brady, who was sacked by Grady Jarrett, and then Monday Night Football, Derek Carr, that was basically strip sacked, and they ended up giving him a roughing the passer call. And then all of the other makeup calls, because the refs, I think, were just petrified of the fans there. But they got to figure this out. They got to figure out what the happy medium is, because getting these roughing the passer calls when it's just not even close to being warranted is changing the pace of the game. And we're gambling real money. We are gambling real money on these games. And when they have calls like this that change the entire outcome of the game and the pace, it's like, come on, guys, you got to figure this out.
Yeah, some of the calls are getting way out of hand. Like that strip sack on Monday Night Football, I mean, the defender actually does his best to not land on yes. Carr, right? So, you know, the guys are actually trying to play toward, you know, to the within the rules, and they're getting penalized again. You know, what do you think it is? Do you think it's the refs making just bad calls? Do you think it's a little bit of the fix is in?
I know you're a very big proponent of the fixes, and I try not to go down that rabbit hole too often. I think it's what happened to Tua and the head injuries and the concussions and them being overly cautious now with the quarterbacks. And so I just think they have to figure out what the happy medium is, where you're protecting, you know, the quarterback better and not having everybody get these crazy concussions where they're leaving the game in stretchers and just allowing, because you got to be able to sack the quarterback. I mean, that's such a key component to this game, certainly with the defenses. So I think it's more of like, I will say I was, you know, being a little bit cheeky because I was on the Raiders in that game. So when that happened, I'm like, oh my God, great call. What are you talking about? I was absolutely right for the passer. And then I totally regretted that, not for gloating because, you know, Twitter is funny, but I regretted it because then once the refs make that terrible of a call, you know, one, you piss off the team that was on the other end of the call. You piss off the fan base. I mean, the Chiefs fan base was pissed and they got really, really loud. You changed the entire energy. And then it's like the Raiders started not playing as well. The Chiefs were fired up. The crowd was fired up and the refs were absolutely terrified. They were just getting bullied by the crowd. And then there was all those makeup calls. And so I was like, you know what? I would have rather just taken the strip sack because I think it would have been better for the Raiders, but whatever, they covered.
Yeah, you could feel the energy in the whole building kind of shift, right? Like you saw Mahomes fired up on the sidelines.
You don't want to fire him up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the guy you want to piss off, right? Like the best player on the other team. It's like poking the beehive. Yep. Did you see the video? I think it was Big Cat from Barstool tweeted out where the ref, it was almost like he was like crying, yes. Announcing what was happening.
I mean, when you miss a call that bad and you're at one of the loudest stadiums or the loudest stadium, I don't know, it's between them and Seattle in the league and those fans, I would be scared too. I would be like, oh man, they're going to kill me after this game, which Chiefs won in the end. Everybody's happy, at least at Arrowhead, and Raiders bettors are happy as well.
Yeah, right. Because think about even like a public speaking event when you're just in college class, you're talking in front of 20 other kids that are just doing the same thing as you. It's nerve wracking, right? Imagine being the ref in front of thousands and thousands of fans who all hate you. It's got to be so scary.
Chanting "ref, you suck" over and over again. Like, yeah, just awful. All right, let's take a look at some interesting lines in week 6.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today, and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
First up, Bills versus Chiefs. Everyone is looking forward to this game. The Bills are favored by 3. The Chiefs are plus 126 dogs to win outright at home, over under 54. It is the first time in his career that Patrick Mahomes is a home underdog. He was favored in his first 41 home starts, which was the longest streak to begin a career in the Super Bowl era. Do you think that this line is correct? Should the Bills rightfully be favored against Patrick Mahomes, who has never been an underdog at home before?
This is a really tough game because, you know, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. We see what they do time in, time out again, where Patrick Mahomes starts cooking. They're throwing the ball all over the field. But this is like the first time in a while where it seems like there's a team that does it better than they do it in what the Buffalo Bills can do.
Yeah.
The GM did an amazing job constructing this team. They were literally built to beat the Chiefs. And we saw it happen last year. They beat them in the regular season. I think it was 38-20, right? That game. And, we all thought they had them beat in the playoffs. And then Mahomes' brilliance kind of rose to the occasion there. This is a good, good game to watch. A really tough game to bet on. There's some glaring mismatch disadvantages that really favor the Bills here. Yeah. We saw Monday night, the Chiefs, for whatever reason, can't stop the opposing team, number one wide receivers, right? Yeah. So what are they going to do with Diggs?
Number one receiver, but also Josh Jacobs. He ran all over them. And the Chiefs supposedly had the number one rushing defense.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs, he was doing whatever he wanted. But it's been a theme throughout the season where opposing number one wide receivers have big, big games against the Chiefs every week, it seems like. Mike Evans did it 2 weeks ago. Davante Adams just had a huge game on Monday night. What are they going to do with Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen's number one target, who we see explode, seems like, every week, right? Yeah. I know that's your guy. And then the Bills are number one in defensive DVOA versus opposing tight ends. We saw when they went up against the Ravens, Mark Andrews, Lamar Jackson's number one target, only 2 catches for 15 yards. So you take away Travis Kelce from this Chiefs offense. You know, I know Marquez Valdes-Scantling had a big game Monday, but Travis Kelce had the 4 touchdowns. You take him away from Mahomes.
Yeah.
What is that Chiefs offense going to do with no Cheetah now? So there's a lot of questions and mismatches that really favor the Bills here. And then you look, Mahomes, you said it, has never been a home underdog in his whole career. I know he's 7-0-1 against the spread as an underdog, but he's never been a home dog.
Yep.
And it's still early, but I'm seeing over 70-80% of the handle on the Chiefs. So you're giving me a unpopular favorite in the Bills, who look like the best team in the league right now. I kind of like the Bills here.
I like the Bills too. And that's so interesting that you're saying eight. I know it's still early, but that 80% is on the Chiefs, yet the line hasn't really moved at all. That's interesting for me as well. And I agree with you. I think that on paper and what we've seen so far this season, the Bills are the better team, and there are a lot of mismatches there. And you're right. I mean, Devontae Adams absolutely cooked them, and they've been getting cooked by, you know, wide receiver ones the first one for pretty much all season. But the running game is what really I found so interesting, because the Chiefs supposedly had the best defense against the run, although maybe they had some questionable opponents. And Josh Jacobs just absolutely had his way. And you look at someone like Josh Allen, who can run and has a big, big body, they're going to have so many problems. But to your point, interested to see it. Not sure which way I'm going to lean yet, but I do think that the books got it right in putting the Bills as the favorite. Let's talk about one more interesting line, the Ravens versus the Giants. So the Ravens are 5-point road favorites, despite the Giants being 4-1 this season. A 4-1 team or better entering week 6 has only been that large of a home underdog 3 times: the 1966 Cardinals, the 2007 Cowboys, and the 2020 Bills. Just 3 times. Now, I do think that the Ravens are a better team than the Giants, but the Giants are gritty. They've got some guts. Do you think that this is a correct line?
I do. I wouldn't be shocked if the Ravens were actually bigger favorites. Just, you know, historically, Daniel Jones struggles at MetLife. Week 1, we saw Lamar Jackson came to New York versus the other New York team, the Jets, and he lit it up, had a great game, 3 touchdowns.
Yep.
I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Ravens just blow the doors off the Giants. The Giants coming off of that high emotional win in London. We talked about it last week, how teams coming back from that London game without a bye,
yes,
their defenses tend to struggle, right? Yep. You took the Seahawks team total over, that cashed pretty easy. Yep. And the Bears team total over, and that cashed easy as well. Yep. So I think the Ravens on paper have a huge mismatch. They're the number 2 offensive pass DVOA team in the league. The Giants, 24th in pass defensive pass DVOA. So mismatch right there. The Ravens are should have a advantage through the air, passing the ball all around. And then you factor in that trend where the Giants are coming back from that London game, no bye. Typically, the defenses tend to struggle. You know, it kind of makes me wonder, maybe this is a big game where the Ravens offense explodes, because we've kind of seen them, you know, stagnant the last few weeks.
I agree. I couldn't say anything better than you just said.
Hey, you know, whenever we agree, it's a good thing. Last week, we disagreed on the Niners, and that didn't work out for me.
It never works out for you, Kenny, with the Niners. That's okay. One of these days, I'll get you on my faithful team. The time has come for Capper's Corner. Let's talk some TNF, the Commanders versus the Bears. Not a lot of offense on this one. This game is a pick 'em. Everything is at minus 110, even the over-under. That's at 37.5. The total has been all over the place. It was 40 just 3 days ago and has been bet down. It had been bet down all the way to 37. It's currently 38 on Caesars. What do you like from this game?
Anything? Not much.
There's really nothing to like about this game.
Not much. But, you know, I did some research, dug in the old trend crates, and found some things that stood out to me. One, obviously, just looking at these two teams, the under has to be appealing, right? I know it's low, but these two offenses just stink. So I think we're on the same page there with the under. Yes. The under is 16-5 in the last 21 Thursday night football games. That's 76%. That's insane. Crazy. Yeah. Right? In NFL, minus 110s, you're hitting 76%. You're making a lot of money. You know, in 21 games, that's not a super small sample size. So that's something that jumps out to me. I really like the under here. You know, Washington's defense, much better versus the run than they are versus the pass. Good news for them. The Bears can't seem to pass the ball at all. They're good at running, but Justin Fields is inept at passing the ball, right? So
the offense is just inept. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole offense looks inept. I bet them on Sunday watching them. I had a huge bet on them plus 8.5 versus the Vikings. They go down early, and I'm sitting there pulling my hair out. Like, what was I thinking taking the Bears? Luckily, they were able to muster some points together and cover for me. But, yeah, this game, I like the under here a lot, and I like Justin Fields' over rushing attempts. It's set at 7.5. He's hit that number in all but one game this year, which was last game. He had 7 attempts total versus the Vikings, And he actually had more attempts, but a few were called back because of holding penalties and different penalties. So, you know, if not for those, he would have actually hit this number in every single game this year. It's set at 7.5. I think there's going to be plenty of opportunities where he drops back to pass, where they try to take advantage of that porous Washington secondary. And, you know, maybe the pressure gets to him and he has to kind of leak out and try and scramble to pick up first down. So I'm going to go with the under and Justin Fields over rushing attempts.
I love both of those bets. I'm on the under as well. I mean, you just look at these quarterbacks, Fields versus Wentz. Oh, brother, we're not scoring any points in this game. So Washington has hit. Now, this line, again, it's been all over the place. It was at 40, then it was 37. Right now, 38. It'll be interesting to see how that changes in the next 24 hours or so. But Washington has hit under 40 points in three straight games. They're averaging just 18 points per game. Chicago hit under 40 points three times already. They're averaging even less at 17 points per game. The only thing, you just hit on how they're terrible in the passing game, Fields and all of the receivers. The only thing the Bears can kind of do well is run the ball, but that's what the Commanders are actually good at doing, is stopping the run. So it just doesn't feel like there's going to be a lot of points here. So I'm riding with you on that one. I'm also taking kind of, and I feel like, you know, maybe this is not in good taste because he's just coming back from something horrific, but Brian Robinson Jr., I'm taking him under 48.5 rush yards. He made his season debut last week, rushed for 22 yards. He has an incredible story. He was shot multiple times. He came out to the 50 cent many men. I know a lot of people are going to be like riding hard on him to have a big game. He did also have that 7-yarder that was called back, but the Bears rush defense, they've just been getting worked. So I see a majority of this load going back to Antonio Gibson. It's not that I think that Robinson Jr. is going to have a terrible game. I just think that Antonio Gibson is going to get most of the work here. So I'm going to take him under that 48.5.
Yeah, I like that one. And like you said, Brian Robinson is going to be a huge fan favorite to be, you know, everyone's going to be loading up on those props because of his story. Great story. But yeah, I like that fade, especially in the second game back. You know, he's got to be probably a little fatigued, a little more sore. So yeah, I agree with you there. I think they'll lean on Antonio.
Yeah, lean on Antonio. And I think the majority of the public is looking about how bad the Bears are against the rush. And yeah, buying into the narrative and the story. And I'm just saying, take him under 48.5.
Another one too is I haven't seen too many people talking about it, but the Wentz interception prop, you know, I saw a stat. I think it's like 12 out of 16 away quarterbacks this year in the primetime games have thrown an interception.
Pull up your phone. What is that on? There's no interception props for some reason in New York. You're in Jersey. So you tell me what the Wentz number is.
I was going to pick that as instead of the Fields rushing one. So I don't think it was too high actually. So.
But you know what? It's like, well, even if it is high, when you look at someone like Matthew Stafford, even if it's at minus 168 or 64, whatever it was the last time, if it's a guaranteed winner, there's still value there. There's still value, even if it's like not the greatest odds. I'm still going to bet that and Matt Ryan as well. Quarterbacks named Matt currently in the NFL, fade, take them to get an interception. You're always going to win money. You just are.
So Carson Wentz over half an interception minus 121. So not that high.
That is good. Lock it up, people, all day long. He's getting an interception.
Yeah, did you see what Ron Rivera had to say about Carson Wentz? What's holding them back compared to the other teams in the NFC East? Quarterback.
One, he's not wrong, okay? But two, that can't make you feel good going into this game with the way that you've been playing. So there's already that kind of tension there. And take him to throw a pick and nobody's scoring any points in this game. I would be shocked. But let's move on now and talk some mocks, locks. We can do this in baseball. We could be Thursday night football, or we can do hockey, the NHL. I'll start things off here. I'm going to take Zach Wheeler over 5.5 strikeouts tonight. This is at plus money, at plus 106. Wheeler had a 1.38 ERA in the first innings in his last 26 starts against the Braves. Now we know he'll stay for at least five. He averages over this mark at 6.33 strikeouts per game versus the Braves in his career. But if you're talking 2022, that jumps up to over 8 strikeouts per game. And in the last 10, if we want to talk recency bias, in the last 10 games, he's hit over this mark as well at 5.9 strikeouts. Like, what are we doing here? Why is that at 5.5? I almost feel like it should be at 6.5. And at plus money, I'm taking it.
Yeah, that's another insult to injury as a Mets fan, right? Seeing Zach Wheeler on the Phillies, wheeling and dealing in the playoffs, and we got Mad Max out there, can't get an out to save his life. I like that one. Zach Wheeler's been a a stud on the mound for the Phillies. So I think he'll come into this game, pitch a big game, huge game for them. If they take a 2-0 lead, that, you know, Phillies are in command of that one.
All right, what's your first pick?
So I'm going to go no runs scored in the first inning for the Phillies Braves.
Look at us.
We're in sync here. You know, just you touched on Zach Wheeler. I think he's more than capable of coming in, getting 1-2-3 inning in the first. And then Kyle Wright on the other side. The Phillies offense has looked very good in the playoffs, but they hit lefties a lot better than they hit righties. So, you know, they went up against Freed, the lefty, yesterday. I think the righty, Kyle Wright, should be able to get them out of the first inning.
I love it. Okay, so my next, I'm looking at the other baseball game. I'm taking the Dodgers on the run line. That's at +110, -1.5. And I'm also taking the first five over 3.5 runs. That's at -125. I mean, I knew this going into last night, but now it's confirmed the Dodgers are a better team on both sides of the ball than the Padres are. We got Kershaw on the mound tonight versus Darvish. Darvish has faced the Dodgers 10 times in his career. He's 3-5, despite having a pretty good ERA at 2.47. He's 3-6. That's his record at Dodger Stadium in the 11 starts that he's been there with a 3.98 ERA. So Darvish doesn't do well or as well as, you know, what his normal record is versus the Dodgers, and certainly not in Dodger Stadium. Kershaw, he's unbeaten since being activated from the IR list in September. LA has the number one scoring offense. They average 5.23 runs per game. In 82 home games, their run differential is zero. So for me, I'm like, yeah, they're going to score a lot of runs here because Darvish doesn't do that well. At Dodger Stadium, you got Kershaw, who's just completely locked in. Give me the Dodgers on the run line in the over 3.5 in the first five innings.
I like that. You know, Darvish struggles on the road unless he's playing the Mets. So
any other picks for you?
No, I'm just going to go with the Nerfy in that one. And then my Thursday night football bets. I like the under a lot and that Justin Fields over rushing attempts.
All right. Well, Kenny, thank you so much for coming on the show today. You can follow him at Kenny Betts Big on Twitter and also on Instagram. This was Moxie Betts presented by Caesars Sportsbook. And don't forget to follow us on social as well at Moxie Betts. See you Friday.